Good afternoon. Welcome to our second to last 5x20x20 lunchtime lecture in conjunction with the exhibition Compass in Hand, selections from the Judith Rothschild Foundation Contemporary Drawings Collection. My name is Christian Rademeyer. I'm an associate curator in the Department of Drawings, and I would like to welcome you all, even though I can't see you anymore. I want to say a few things just very broadly about the collection, so you know the context. The Judith Rothschild Foundation Contemporary Drawings Collection is a collection of approximately 2,600 works by some 650 artists and explores a comprehensive and dynamic definition of drawing. The collection is the brainchild of Harvey Shipley Miller, the trustee of the Judith Rothschild Foundation and a member of the Committee on Drawings and the board of the Museum of Modern Art, New York. In an extraordinary philanthropic undertaking, Mr. Shipley Miller assembled this body of work between 2003 and 2005. In May 2005, the acquisition of the collection was proposed to the Committee on Drawings at the Museum of Modern Art, and it was unequivocally approved. Adhering to the gestalt and inclusive philosophy that this collection was based on, we wanted to develop a means to celebrate more of the artists represented in this collection in conjunction with the exhibition Compass in Hand, which presents a selection of works from this collection, and to welcome the artists and make new connections between the works, to welcome them to the Museum of Modern Art. About 350 artists actually entered the collection of the Museum of Modern Art through this gift. Today is our fifth session of Pecha Kucha-style lectures, conceived to give voice to as many artists in the Judith Rothschild Contemporary Drawings Collection as we possibly could over the course of our public programming in May. Pecha Kucha, which literally means chit-chat, or the sound of conversation, is an informal Japanese presentation format designed to easily, efficiently, and informally show a broad spectrum of work, artwork or otherwise. As per the title of our lecture series, 5x20x20, we asked each participating artist, and today there are six, so we should change the title to 6x20x20 in today's case, to show 20 slides, allowing for 20 seconds per slide. So each presentation will last 6 minutes and 40 seconds. The Judith Rothschild Foundation Contemporary Drawings Collection, contemporary in focus, expansive in nature, was intended, in the words of Mr. Shipley Miller, to provide a, quote, cross-section of a moment in time. In assembling a diverse group of artists and their equally varied art practices here today, we hope to capture that inclusive spirit that guided the collection. Today, Kurt Kauper, Tamara Geyer, Rachel Seligman, Dave Muller, Randall Sellers, and Gary Hayes will present. And there will be an order of your handout, except that Gary Hayes and Randall Sellers changed places, so don't be confused. And I'll refer to the longer biographies that you have on the printout. They will all present their work. As all of the artists here today will be put to the timer, I too will be brief, and will forego introducing each artist in depth. I ask you to refer to their bios on the handout sheet. Upon completion of this presentation, we'll have a question-and-answer period for which all the artists will come forward to the stage while presenting. They'll present from the podium one by one. And I encourage you to ask questions, either generally or specifically to each artist, as you will, and we will have two microphones on the side and the aisle so we can hear you and we have a record of your question. Before I hand things over to our first guest, I would like to thank my colleagues in the Education Department, Pablo Helguera, Laura Bayless, and Emma Enderby for organizing this event, and of course you all for coming and the artists for participating. So without further ado, Kurt Kauper, take it away. Thank you.
Thanks. I've always been a figure painter since I started making work, and I've always been really interested in and inspired by Western painting. But that interest has also always been, or I've always thought of it as a kind of straitjacket. And I've also always struggled with how to make contemporary figuration somehow relevant. On the left is a painting I did in 1992 when I was attempting to do that by working within what I call an expressionist tradition. On the right is a painting I did at UCLA in 1995. It was the last painting I did while I was a grad student there. And I was very concerned at that by that time with moving away from expressionism. On the right, you see a detail. So I wanted to make a painting that would deflect any attempt by the viewer to get into the headspace of the figure in the painting, which is why I have myself smiling back at the viewer. And I wanted to make a figure painting where, and all of these are details, where the viewer would feel compelled to closely examine the painting while the figure in the painting was rather assertively making the viewer aware of that process they were engaged in of looking. So I was interested in that dynamic between the figure in the painting and the viewer. And I wanted to further emphasize that by making a painting of a figure that was standing naked in front of a viewer and didn't seem to be aware that they shouldn't be. And I wanted that to somehow get at the tradition of nude representation in Western painting. Certain details like the flip-flops and the leg warmers actually happened by accident, but I thought were useful in making me seem to be a kind of absurd presence in front of the viewer. Painting 17 by 25 inches. So I did two of those self-portraits, and each of them took 5 months. And so by the time I finished that painting, I knew I didn't want to do any more self-portraits, in large part because of the climate of the time, 1995. That's Maria Callas on the right, by the way. The paintings were often interpreted as somehow being an identity-based narrative. So I wanted to make paintings that would not in any way be interpreted as having anything to do with me. So I started a painting of a woman in a ball gown. And at the same time, I started a painting of Maria Callas on TV. And in the process of making the paintings, the woman in the ball gown became, for me, a kind of reconstruction of a contemporary diva in relationship to the historical diva in Maria Callas. So I like the way these paintings engaged with that struggle between tradition and the attempt to construct a contemporary identity out of tradition. So after the divas, I had no idea what I wanted to paint. And I saw the little painting on the right in Paris. It's called The Apotheosis of Napoleon. And it shows Napoleon ascending to heaven in a chariot, basically nude. And I love the fact that in 1851, Ang could make a painting of a cultural icon nude as a gesture of immortalization. So I wanted to try to do that. And so I tried to think of a figure that was both a hero of mine and could be seen as a cultural icon. And because of my interest in sexuality, in paintings that were uncategorizable, in a kind of murky understanding of identity, Cary Grant seemed perfect to me. And so I made this series of paintings of Cary Grant nude. And in the process of doing them, I realized that I was extremely interested in the male nude and the public reception of the male nude as opposed to the female nude. I was particularly interested in the way viewers would quickly come to conclusions as to the identity of the artist based on the iconography chosen. And that's something that continues to interest me to this day. And all of the concerns I've talked about, my interest in a very active relationship between the figure looking at the painting, I mean, between the viewer looking at the painting and the figure in the painting, sexuality, are all very interesting to me still. These were two paintings I did before the Cary Grant paintings. Actually, I started them, and then they sat around my studio blocked in because I didn't really know what I wanted to do with them. They're small paintings based pretty directly on hockey cards from 1972. And while I didn't quite know why I was doing them, as they sat in my studio, I realized what I loved about them was the way these cards, which were clearly meant to be kind of embodiments of a kind of ideal of masculinity and were meant to communicate that to young boys, they actually were much more like locket portraits you know, these small things, intimate portraits of a loved one that you wear close to your heart. And that tension between the intent of the images and the hockey cards and the possible reception of the images was something that was really interesting to me. And it was interesting to me because on the one hand, that seemed to perfectly identify for me a moment in my life when sexuality was kind of up in the air and was a very, it was something that I was, that it seemed to me to be a moment where there was were choices to be made. And those small paintings led to these larger images of hockey players. This is a painting called Derek from 2007. It's much more elaborate, obviously. And in this painting, I wanted... It's actually based on an actual photograph of a hockey player named Derek Sanderson standing in the Boston Bruins locker room with clothes on. And so I made this nude portrait of him, and I tried to elaborate the locker room so that the location of the figure would actually be unclear and wouldn't declare itself immediately as a locker room, which hopefully gets at a kind of ambiguity I'm interested in my paintings. And I think this is the last slide. So my interest in the male nude continues in these paintings and in the whole series that I did.